Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
All right, the Lord is good. Now let's continue this our discussion, Foundations and Pillars of Financial Prosperity. I ended last time by explaining the particular principle that our hearts must get to a particular point in God, all right, where we will discover the things that really count. Are you following what I'm saying? It's very vital. That Christianity, godliness, is not the method by which we get what the world is looking for. But as children of God, we must learn that there are things that God wants to achieve in our life. I said very emphatically, Paul said, I have learned how to abound, I have learned how to abase. I have learned how to be independent of circumstances. He said, I can stand adversity, I can stand prosperity. And he said, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. Very important. Don't forget what we said about foundations. We said they are invisible, and through the word of God that and the understanding that we get from it, we're able to detect what are the real foundations of life. We read from the book of Job, chapter 29, where Job gave us the relationship we had with God. He said, when the friendship of God was over my tent, and then he described the blessings that came as a result of that relationship we had with God. He said, my children were round about me, and I had honor amongst men. He said, my feet were bathed in butter, and the rocks poured out for me streams of oil. All right? And he said, why did this happen? This was a spiritual foundation. Because I helped those who were in need. I helped the needy. I helped the widow. He said, the blessing of one that was about to perish came upon me. Are you getting my point? Those are the things we said at the foundation. So we must learn, okay, the foundations. I made a point which is very important, that you will not achieve God's blessing, all right, materially speaking now, until you have first achieved peace in your soul. All right, that the first thing you do with your prayer and your faith is not to get material things, but that God might lead you into rest. I said one of my favorite scriptures is this. Let me quickly read it. Isaiah chapter 26, from verse 3. He said, thou wilt keep in perfect peace the mind that is stayed on thee because it trusts in thee. Very important. That is, our trust in God will bring forth perfect peace into our hearts, and that must be the first thing that we are trying to achieve. Now, having said all of that, I now want to continue on talking about those pillars of financial prosperity. Some time ago, I began to speak on the matter of your gifts, all right, and your calling, that is, your abilities, your gifts. I said, where your grace flows. And for that, let's quickly go back to where we're reading then, and that's the book of Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12, from verse 4. It says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts, verse 6, that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. There's something I want to quickly read again to us, which we've read in previous times, just to make these things tied together. Quickly, let's open again to the book of Psalms 139, from verse 13. David prophesied, he said, thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows thee very well. It says, my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. It said, thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Now, I read these two scriptures for a particular reason. In the last time I brought up some issues here, I explained that you will get to a point where your heart will discover that which matters indeed. And that please, don't let the world sell you its own ideals. Putting everybody into one box. Alright? You get there, you're only judged according to what you have. Don't let the world ever do that to you. It's not right. I was watching on TV the other day. Some women gathered and they were trying to educate women on how to have esteem for their lives. That what happens is that people have watched TV so much that it has reached a point. Well, all the young ladies are looking at, of course, are the stars that are on TV. You know, when I was very young, I thought all Indian girls were extremely beautiful. I didn't know they chose the most beautiful one to act in Indian movies. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? Yes, when I was a child, that's what I thought. All right? I thought all Indians looked like those ones I saw in movies. But later on, when I grew up, I realized, forget. All right? They are as diverse as there are animals on earth. All right? They're just like us too. Okay? Now, what happens is that they paint a picture. That's what those people were saying. That every young woman looks, okay, at herself only by what she looks like outwardly. Therefore, you see, you know, you go out on the road, every girl, 90% wear the same kind of trousers. Half of them, it looks ugly on them, they wear it anyway. Are you getting my point? Yes, because when they are looking at it, they are not seeing themselves, they are seeing Beyonce. Do you follow what I'm saying? You are the one that has seen her. She's not seeing herself. She is seeing the thing she saw on television. And these people who were, you know, they were discussing this thing on Larry King, they were actually very angry. They were women. Then why did you let people turn us, okay, into just flesh? You think we are just objects of sex and nothing more than that? And I've seen many people complain about it. They are women. Don't let them make you look like just an object of sex. You walk on the road, it's your bum and your breasts we are looking at. You are more than that. God didn't create you as a specimen to be causing an accident on the road because men can't look straight. You have become what somebody called a weapon of mass destruction. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? No, that's what we do to ourselves. And it's not just women. It's easy to talk about women. Men, the same thing. You can't walk straight now because you don't have a nice car. I always say, look, there are graces that God gave me. One of them was to rejoice in the midst of nothing. I remember one day, a friend of mine, I went to look for him in church. And that's how I respond. Our churches were near each other then in Lagos. So I knew when to catch him when he's coming to church. So I waited. I knew the service he would come for. I went for the early service in my own church and went to wait for him. And as he approached, he was working for a pharmaceutical company. Those days when, how many people had cars? Of course, apart from the fact that Nigerians were generally very poor under SAP days, I was a very young man too, just finished youth service. And he drove up in, his company gave him a car, a racer deal. And he parked. As he came out, I remember the suit he was wearing. I still remember till today. It was brown. The guy was looking so handsome, I was excited. Some other people have been jealous. Me, jealous of what? I said, my God, this guy, you are looking too fine. Next time I went to make a suit, I made sure it was brown. Listen. Me, I have, look. It doesn't, Father, I thank you for the grace. And I pray that my listeners will tap into that same grace. You can't judge my life by what I have when Jesus said it doesn't matter. What I'm going into is what really determines your life. First and foremost, as a child of God, believe me this. This is a matter of fact. It is your knowledge of God and your relationship with Christ that matters. That's why Paul said, I can do all things. You know, I said it last time. Through Christ that strengthens me. I have related with this Christ so much. I am the same in the midst of plenty. I'm the same in the midst of little. I sleep well. I have money I don't have. I sleep well. I have a car I don't have. I sleep well. And you can't make me look like a failure because of what I don't have. You are the one that has a problem. You are blind. You don't see well. That's what God, Jesus told the church in Laodicea. He said, you know your problem? That the reason why you are going around bragging that you are rich and you have is because you are so blind, you don't know what is real anymore. And what I'm teaching now is for us to understand there are things that are real. The world won't teach us that which is not real. My life is not my car, it's not my clothes, not the kind of house I have, not the amount of money I earn as income. It's only blind and naked people that judge people according to those standards. I'm not blind, I'm not naked. I'm a child of God with illumination in my soul. I see clearly, therefore, you won't use your blindness to tell me what my life is supposed to be. What am I saying? What makes our lives count? Number one, I say our relationship with God. But I'm talking specifically on the principles, all right, of financial prosperity. So let me narrow it down to that. There's something that God does not, that's what I read from this Psalm 139. It said, you formed my inward parts. All right? You wove me in my mother's womb. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. What that means, you know, it's not. It doesn't mean that when I see myself in the mirror, I'm looking like Agbani Darego. That's not what it means. My muscles are not like that of Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's not what it means. I'm not a movie star. I'm not trying to be one, so why should I look like him? If I'm supposed to be a horse racing champion, I can't look like that. My horse won't run. That's a matter of fact. I'll be too big for the horse. But they call them jockeys. All jockeys are very light people. Because the horse has to carry your weight as it's running. No matter how skillful you are, if you are too heavy, the horse is a living being. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That is my, when we're talking about the beauty, all right, and skill, all right, in my makeup, it's describing how perfectly suited I am to the purpose for which God made me. And let me say something. I said something at the beginning, let me say it again. That anything you achieve in life, in fact, the other day I listened to Mike Murdock, and he said your dream in life, okay, is a fruit. That is those great things in life that you ever dreamt of achieving, says a fruit. The great things you like to have to experience is a fruit. He said, what is the seed that will bring forth that fruit? He says, your assignment. That is when you perform your assignment, God will bring forth fruit of everything that you have ever dreamt of. And I said something the other day, when we were talking about the issue of thanksgiving, that we must learn to give thanks. That when we have a glass of water, we shouldn't take rain for granted, that it will always fall. All right? Or if you live in a developed country, but some people don't know that, you know, water can stop flowing from a tap. All right? That's just by the way. If you live in an advanced country, you can't take the fact that water flows from your tap all the time for granted. You take every glass of water, you still give thanks. That's why Jesus never forgot to give thanks anytime he wanted to eat. What do I mean by that? Reminding us of it again. That is, whatever material things you will get in life is a gift of God. It's God's provision. All right? Now, bear that in mind. Now, why will God provide for you? And I want to say that. God provides, one of the ways by which he provides for people is to stock provision in the place of their calling, the place of their assignment. Are you getting my point? The mistake we make, I said something, that if you're a Christian, you're a Christian. If you're a believer, you better believe the word of God. The mistake we make is that we think that our provisions in life are directly related to our output. Are you getting my point? Therefore, if I struggle hard and I get a very nice degree and I get a very good job, that I'm guaranteed of food, mistake. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, if we understand the real connection, that the real connection is this, if I please God and I do that which is pleasing in his sight, then I will be guaranteed of what I will eat. There's a scripture I want to read to just explain that. Isaiah chapter 33. Let me just start from verse 14. It says, sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling has seized the godless. He was talking about time of trial, the time of adversity. He said, who among us can live with the consuming fire? They were experiencing that. He said, who among us can live with continual burning? This is the answer of verse 15. He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, he who rejects unjust gain and shakes his hands so that they hold no bribe, he who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. Listen to verse 16. He will dwell on the heights. His refuge will be the impregnable rock. His bread will be given him, and his water will be sure. Are you seeing that? That in the time of trial, it is not what the man has invested or acquired that will make sure that he has provision, but that God looks at his works. Let me summarize and say, yes, this man is a good man. Please, bear these things in mind. There's a reason why I'm reading them. Because if you don't understand this, a lot of us neglect what we are supposed to do and focus on that which only provides us, you know, material things. You know, I started this some time ago. I said, God never ordained that you should be a slave all your life. I said that thing. And I said something the other time also, that a point will come in your life where you will discover what really matters to you. And at that particular point in time, you can't fool yourself by using money to, you know, to quench the anxiety of your soul. You can't. You won't be able to do that. Now, please follow what I'm saying. When that time comes, what will give you satisfaction? And this is what God ordained. Listen. This is what God ordained so that you will never be a slave all your life. This is what God ordained so that you will all your life, listen, be a person of prominence or at the end of your days. This is what God ordained, that you will look and you will be satisfied with your life. Believe me, it's possible to look at your life and be satisfied. A time will come for all of us, we reach a particular age, you start wondering what really is this life about. And that's what I'm discussing. He said, God made my inward parts to do certain things. I am saying again that the way by which you will not be a slave all your life is to identify that which God placed inside you to use to bless the generations of the earth, and begin now to use that to bless the generations of the earth. I've said all the things I've said so far because people oftentimes neglect their skills Listen, if you're going to listen to our series, The Will of God, I discuss these things. What is God's will for me? I've discussed it, and if you get the message, the series, The Life of Purpose, I also discuss in detail there. So I'd like everybody who can to go and listen to it, to those messages. Is that okay? Now, because I don't have all the time to go into the details of how do you identify it. But let me just say this quickly. To every child of God who has gotten the right thought pattern into their heart, you will soon discover that there is something that's rising up inside you every time to do. Most preachers that preach, okay, because we are preachers, we tend to give examples of preaching. For example, I'm a preacher. I love to preach. I'd rather preach than earn money from something else. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is the primary thing. It's the thing that gives my life satisfaction. Now, the point I'm making here is this, all right? That you see, we give those things as examples. But the fact is that it's not only about preaching. It's not only about preaching. I heard the story of one of the leading industrialists in America, one of the leading entrepreneurs. He said all he ever wanted to do in his life was to teach, I think, elementary school. Or, you know, what we call secondary school. But he's gone into business. He has become a billionaire. But all he wants to do is to do what? Teach. There was something Robert Kiyosaki said. If you ever read his series, read that poor dad. He said it's in his blood that his father was a teacher. And for him too, he had to teach. He had made money, he has gone real estate, investing and all of that. But everything that he did was so he can end up in one thing, teaching. And what he enjoys doing right now is going around teaching people about financial freedom. Teaching. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? There are all kinds of things. I'm talking about the foundations and pillars, okay? I've explained something all this while, that God is the one that's responsible for providing for you. And I'm giving you one important pillar, all right, of financial prosperity. The work of your hands as you exercise yourself in the gift that God has given you. You know what I have discovered? Anybody who bothers to try will discover what God has placed inside him. You know, I say it all the time. People say there are no jobs. I say it's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. There is something you can do, all right, to bless somebody. What we mean a lot of times when we say there are no jobs is because, you know, we have queued up in all the high-paying places and nobody is giving us something. That's all we mean. The same thing you want to go and do somewhere, you'll be surprised at the number of other places where you have the opportunities to do the same thing, but they won't pay you the same. It's something I just want to add, all right? I discovered this long ago. No matter how much faith you have, if you're not doing something, God won't give you money. Now, you say, I thought you said that it doesn't come from... Yes, I said it. Money does not necessarily come from what you are doing. Do you understand my point? But there's a way spiritual things work. You just have to be busy exercising yourself in something. Idleness, you can... Look, a lot of people have prayed and prayed and prayed. And God has... You know, every time you pray, they add... The prayer has measure. They're accumulating your prayer in heaven. Go and read the Revelation. Talk about the prayer of the saints in the censer. You understand what I'm saying? Some prayers don't accumulate such a heavy release of power. But God says, where will I release it to? The guy doesn't do anything. He said, nobody has employed me. So you better go and deploy yourself, like somebody said. And I found that the easiest way, all right, to have yourself deployed is to look around, what do I really love to do? I like what Henry Ford said. He said, why do we always believe in separating work, that is, making money from enjoyment? He said, why do we always believe in separating making a living from enjoyment? He said, if you find out what you are supposed to be doing, really, you will discover that making a living is actually enjoyable. that's what the man was trying to explain. This one I'm making. One of the pillars, because you see, next thing I'm going to talk about is a matter of patience. One of the pillars of financial prosperity, which may also, depending on how you look at it, double as a foundation, is the idea of exercising your gift, especially to bless somebody. I said something, please listen to that series. I've been recommending it again and again. Creating the opportunities for prosperity. What did I say there? I said, what is a job? A job is the opportunity, all right, I have to use my skill and my gifts to bless somebody. You say, what's the difference between my skill and my gift? My skill is that which I've been trained in. Alright? It's different from my gift. For example, I'm a trained medical doctor, but I'm a gifted teacher of the Word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the best thing is when you put skill to your gift. Listen, that is the thing that makes you outstanding in life. when your skill, all right, when skill is added to your gift. That's why I said, do you see a man who is skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Very important. Very, very important. I said, that's what, you know, I've said many things to try and help us understand something. Please, don't let people describe your life for you and tell you your own gift doesn't make any sense. My good example is Okonkwo's father in Things Fall Apart. One of my friends analyzed it, and look, the thing really made me laugh when he said it. He said, a black man never had the sense of art. He couldn't appreciate the fine things of life. I said, what do you mean? He said, Okonkwo's father was known to be a poor, he said, was a poor man in the village. Why? Because nobody understood, nobody appreciated the fact that he was an expert at playing the flute. He said, but we'll go across to the Western world. They will be celebrating Mozart and Beethoven and Handel. He said, Okonkwo's father was a Beethoven, it was a Handel. Are you following what I'm going to explain? That these people told him that this is your gift, oh, it doesn't do anything. And believe me, he probably didn't therefore learn how to deploy, all right, it properly. Very important. Even, listen, there's something I said earlier, let me say it again. Even though it is not making money, it's one place where you keep yourself busy. And that's one thing that God will look at. I said, look, everything in life is a gift of God. Are you getting my point? And life has seasons. You are sowing seeds today, okay, that God will use to bring fruit into your life tomorrow. Remember what Mike Murdock said? He said that your blessing, your dreams, the great things you're expecting, I'm adding my own words to it now, that is your is the fruit. All right? The seed for that fruit is the exercising of yourself in your assignment, in the exercising of yourself with your gifts. Listen, let me say it again. The world must never describe what your life is supposed to be for you. They mustn't. They mustn't set the standards if you're indeed a child of God. Are you getting my point? What I'm saying so is this. The fact that somebody else's exercise of his gift makes him a millionaire does not make the one that you are doing a nonsense thing. I like somebody said sometime ago, said, because Fela Duroto gets paid 1 million naira, all right, for speaking, doesn't mean you have to go and exercise yourself in Fune. Yes, it doesn't mean it at all. After all, one example I like to give is these comedians. This is one of my friends told me the other day they wanted to invite Alibaba to come to their company premise. They had a program. And the man billed them 5 million naira to be the MC. They quickly dropped him sharp. The point is that he charges 5 million naira for a day's job. He charges 5 million naira for a day's job. But the other day on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, they were doing Who Deserves to Be a Millionaire. And they put Baba Sala, who's been doing comedy since I was a child. And they say, we should honor people like this. And I say, my God. This is the same comedy. Everything has seasons. Are you getting my point? Don't look, a lot of people have lost their gifts by the time the season of the glory of it comes. Please, very important. Don't let the world tell you what is. Look, because, you know, somebody said one day, won't you buy football for your son? I said, for what? Because of JJ Okocha? I said, nonsense. By the time my son is reaching that age, you'll be surprised. The judges of culture won't have a dime. I'm not prophesying against them. It can happen. It may not happen. Look, my son must go to school. Do you get my point? Learn book well. With reward and punishment, he must learn book. You understand what I'm saying? I will entice him to go. I will punish him for not going. But he must know book. Because education is not a means to prosperity. Education is a basic need of life. It's like vitamin and minerals. Please, I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. All right? What we do in the world is that we say, okay, I told you once I want to go and do a seminar. I told you gifts and callings. If you, everybody say my gift, I know how to act. I know how to sing. I say it's not your fault. It's two-faced. It's a Omotola. It's Genevieve. They have confused you now. Suddenly you know how to act. Nobody said I'm good with organizing. I'm good with decorations. These days, people are not good. I know I'm good with public speaking. I say, it's not their fault. Because people like John Maxwell and co. have come from America. And people like Fela Duroto, they have come from Nigeria. Suddenly, public speaking is now you know, is a good thing to do. People now discover that they are good in it. What am I going to say? Don't let the world toss you to and fro. You're not the devil. From whence are you coming? From walking to and fro. Are you getting my point? I have to close now. But what do you do? Whatever it is, whether it is glamorous or not, all right, God has called you to bless the lives of people. Do it persistently. There's something that this man, woman said the other day. I went for a program. One of my friends organized it in Asaba, Praise Creations. And one of the people that I was honored, all right, they honored a number of people. One of them was Christy Bature, all right, Christian musician. And she made a statement. She said, when I started singing, I did not sing because of glory. I did not sing because of honor. I just sang because I was called to sing. He said, but now, one glory after another has been coming. That people are always calling her and giving her awards. He said, so locate that which is yours, do it, and glory will come in its season. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.